Chapter 12, The Ultimate Higher Law, A Message to Middle Managers. There is one additional higher law. The ultimate higher law is, when you appeal to the highest level of thinking, you get the highest level of performance. That's really the whole point. It's what all the other higher laws lead up to. It's also the main reason for playing the great game of business. The game allows you to create an environment in which you can constantly appeal to people's best instincts, in which you can ask them to rise above the day-to-day frustration and think at the highest level. That is, use all their intelligence and ingenuity and resourcefulness to help each other achieve the common goals. But what if you work in a company that doesn't care about playing the game? What if your boss isn't interested in getting you or anybody else to think at the highest level? What if you are a manager who believes passionately in everything we've talked about here, who wants nothing more to live by the higher laws of business, but who has none of the tools we use to break down barriers, eliminate ignorance, and show people the big picture? What if you even don't know the numbers used to measure your performance? Go ahead without them. The truth is, you don't need them to play the game in a single department or office. It's different when you're trying to get a whole company involved. Then it's essential to provide tools that can be used by departments with totally different functions to stay focused on the goals. But if you're a middle manager who wants to start the game in one discrete area of a business, you can get by without a bonus program or an equity participation program or an elaborate communication system or access to the company books. You don't even need the approval of your boss. What you need above all is a personal commitment. For middle managers, the first step of the game is to take a clear-eyed look at the way you operate and to ask yourself the tough questions without using your boss as an excuse. What are you personally giving to the people you manage? Do you spend as much time thinking about them as you spend thinking about customers or departments or people higher up in the organization? Do you share your problems or do you keep them to yourself? Have you asked your people for help in carrying your load? Do they even know what your load is? Have you told them your critical number? Do you yourself operate with an open book? Do you let your people know everything that you know? Are you getting the benefit of their intelligence? Or do you still think you're responsible for coming up with the answers on your own? Do your people know what to do without being told? Or do they wait to get a list from you? Is everybody working toward the same goal? Does everybody know what it is? Do you let people figure out the best way to get there? Do you know what gets your people angriest? Have you ever asked them about their frustrations and their fears? What keeps them awake at night? Have they told you their critical numbers? Have you talked to your people about your own fears and frustrations? Can you let your guard down long enough to do it? Are you willing to make yourself vulnerable? Do you have enough self-confidence to take the chance that you might get screwed? Most important, if the answers to such questions are no, do you really want to change? I don't mean to let top management off the hook here. I firmly believe that if we don't have a revolution in American business, we will do serious long-term damage to our way of life. But this is one revolution that will have to come a person at a time. It all goes back to the fifth higher law. You gotta wanna. The motivation has to come from inside. That applies to bosses as well as workers. Whether you're the president of General Motors or the operator of a fast food franchise or a middle manager in a multinational company with a traditional approach to business, you gotta want to change. The biggest obstacle does not lie in the boardroom or in the corner office, but in ourselves. By the same token, you can start playing your own version of the game, even if you have no support from executives further up in the organization. Bring your people together, sit them down, and talk to them. Get at the root of their problems and concern. Try to put aside your own natural defensiveness. Let each person talk freely and frankly without interruption. Then go back and look for a pattern and a consensus. How do your people view their position in the company? How do they view their environment? What do they like about the company? What don't they like? What do you think is the biggest problem? Who scares them the most? What gets them the angriest? From that, you'll be able to figure out their critical number, and you can set up a game to go after it. But don't stop there. Tell them your critical number. That is absolutely essential. You can't ask people to think at the highest level if they don't know what your real goals are. Tell them what scares you the most, what gets you the angriest, what keeps you awake at night. Explain how things look from your perspective. In every job I've had, I've always found it fascinating to talk to people about what I've discovered as I moved up the ladder. They had all kinds of notions and speculations, and they're very curious to know the reality. Paint the picture for them. Unlock the secrets. Think of yourself as an explorer on their behalf. To be a happy manager, you have to enjoy sharing the things you've learned. When you keep them to yourself, you can't enjoy them. Even if you are successful, you'll never feel comfortable with the wins. When you share your knowledge, you have people with whom you can celebrate every victory. As a manager, you'll have a ball. Having a ball is important for you and your people. It's one of the major rewards of playing the game. But you can only have a ball only if you're working together as a team, if everybody is going after the same critical number and the same goal. When people have different numbers and different goals, it's like having a crooked spine. The organization is constantly in pain. The fundamental purpose behind the great game of business is to eliminate that pain by making sure the various parts of the organizations are in alignment. To do that in an entire company, you need tools like the ones we've deployed at SRC. To do it in a department or an office, you mainly have to be willing to open up to share. Of course, playing the game in your own area of the business won't alleviate the pain resulting from misalignment in the company as a whole. You will still have to contend with mixed messages, interdepartmental rivalry, corporate politics, nonsensical decisions, hidden agendas, and all the other frustrations endemic to companies in which the leaders don't take responsibility for getting everyone to pull in the same direction. In the end, you may not be able to save the company. You will, however, save yourself and your people. You'll create an island of sanity in a sea of confusion. You'll also gain some measure of control over your destiny, thanks to that higher law. By getting them to think at the highest level, you make it possible for them to perform up to the peak of their abilities, and performance is the only control any of us really has. As long as we perform, as long as we are productive, as long as we deliver what we promise and contribute and add value, our services will always be in demand. The game helps you do all of that and have a little bit of fun in the process. That's reason enough for playing it, even if you're all alone.
This has been The Great Game of Business, the only sensible way to run a company. Written by Jack Stack with Bo Burlingham. Narrated by Jack Stack. Copyright 2013, The Great Game of Business Incorporated. Production copyright 2013, The Great Game of Business Incorporated.